So welcome back. A new week. Today we're going to discuss one of the central questions in the Hilchos Tzitzis, and that is the question of whether tzitzis is your mitzvah or whether tzitzis is your clothing's mitzvah. And it's a little bit strange. Usually we don't have mitzvahs for clothing, right? So perhaps the question is better phrased as, is it your mitzvah or, right, how would we phrase it if it wasn't your clothing's mitzvah? Well, those are the terms, but the idea of being a mitzvah schefza, like saying that your clothing has a mitzvah, you're helping your clothing perform its mitzvah.
Only if you own the clothing, that's you have a mitzvah or not.
No, but what does it mean? Right, what does it mean that tzitzis is your clothing's mitzvah? Does it mean that your clothing has a mitzvah to do tzitzis and you're just helping your clothing out?
It means it's optional. If you have, then you have.
If you have that garment, then you must have to make sure it has tzitzis on it.
It's not that you have to go after and look for a mitzvah, because if it's Chovat Gavra, you have to go and make sure that you're going to get it.
So
if it's Chovat Mana,
it's
only if you have the mana.
One second, let me just come back. What was your formulation again?
If you have a baguette that has that requirement, then you have to put tzitzis on there.
So which one would that correspond to? Being your mitzvah or being your clothing's mitzvah?
Your clothing, because it's.
So it's your clothing's mitzvah if you have a baguette and if you don't have a baguette. Meaning to say that it's your clothing's mitzvah, you're saying, means that you only need to put on tzitzis if you have clothing that has four corners. So conversely then, to say that it's your mitzvah would mean that even if you don't have a baguette that has four corners, you still have a mitzvah to go ahead and buy one and put tzitzis on it.
Not necessarily.
No.
Only if you have four bigger than four corners, then you have a tzitzis. If you don't have one, you don't have the, there's no chiyuv.
There's no chiyuv to buy a four corner.
Thank you very much.
Baguette.
The whole idea of Chovat Gavra means you have to look after it and make sure that you do have the mitzvah. If it's Chovat Beged, you say, okay, I don't have a Beged.
Yeah,
goodbye.
Okay, so we have, the Gemara uses these terms. Is it your mitzvah or is it your clothing's mitzvah? And already at the outset, before we've read anything, we've noticed that there's a little bit of confusion, right, that is capable of arising in the course of interpreting what these two possibilities are. And so we're going to have to clarify a little bit more clearly what the Gemara means, right, when it asks this question. Now, as an aside, right, it is worth noting that there are places where the Gemara does refer to tzitzis as being literally a mitzvah for your clothing, that you're helping your clothing fulfill its mitzvah. For instance, that may be why we'll encounter tomorrow that the Gemara, according to some Amoraim, you are not allowed to untie tzitzis from a working garment and to just dispose of them. If the garment has tzitzis on it, so according to some Amoraim, we don't pass in this way, but you would not be allowed to untie the tzitzis from the garment, because then, according to some Rishonim, you would be depriving the garment, right, of its mitzvah. What right do you have to steal the mitzvah from the garment? So in some ways, right, the Gemara does refer to tzitzis as being literally a mitzvah for your clothing, right, that you are simply helping or enabling your clothing to perform. However, that does not seem to be the majority opinion, and so we need to resolve this confusion. What possibly could it mean, right, that tzitzis is your clothing's mitzvah? So we left off, we're actually going to have quite a bit of reading to do today. We left off on Daf Mem Aleph, on an Aleph in the middle of a story. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech haolam shehakol nihiye bedvaro.
Amen.
We're kind of in the middle, so I'm not even going to count down the lines. Actually, I will. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16. 17 lines down from the top of Mem Aleph Amud Aleph. 17 lines down. The first word on the line is Be'oraisa. And we're going to start with the second word on the line. And we were in the middle of a story about how Rabba Bar Rav Nachman was wearing a talis that was as big as a tablecloth. It did not fit him, right, when it was spread out, and so he folded it in half and he wore it over his shoulders in a manner right, that all four corners of the talus were hanging behind him. And he put two of the tzitzis on the fold where the talus was folded over, and the other two tzitzis he put at the corner that was behind him. And Rav Huna visited his house and saw him wearing this tablecloth, elephant-sized talus, and he said to him that this talus does not have tzitzis on halakhically. The tzitzis on this talus are not halakhic tzitzis, because the tzitzis need to be at the corners of the talus, and you put two tzitzis on the corners and two tzitzis at the midpoint between the corners, even though you happen to be wearing that midpoint as if it were a corner, but that midpoint is not the corner of a talus. And so that's what we got up to. We got up to that point in the story. So what happened afterwards? How did Rabbah Bar Rav Huna respond to Rav Huna's critique? What did he do? So the Gemara tells us here, 17 lines down, the word where the first word on the line is Be'oraisa, we're at the second word, Asa, he came, and Shadye, he threw the talus off, folded it up, put it in his closet, or his linen drawer, and he took it off. And then he didn't want to just go around without a talus, so Ichsi, he covered himself like Kesus with Glima Achrite, with a different coat. So he figured, I've taken care of the problem. I was wearing a four-cornered garment that didn't have tzitzis properly. Now I've taken off a four-cornered garment which didn't have proper tzitzis, and I put on a new garment which is properly bedecked, and so I've taken care of the problem. Rav Huna said to him, no, you have not taken care of the problem. Amar Lei, he said, Mi savarta chovas gavrahu, do you think that tzitzis is your personal obligation, that you're only obligated when you're wearing a four-cornered garment? Chovas talisu. Tzitzis is an obligation of the talus. The talus is obligation. And therefore, even when you're not wearing the talus, zil ramile, you must go and put proper tzitzis and onto your talus.
So there's two mitzvahs, the talus and the tzitzis?
It's either or. So again, if we're saying that it's your mitzvah, so what would I write under your mitzvah? Right, what? We have now a nafkamina. Rav Huna is telling us a nafkamina between these two possibilities. If it's a chovas gavra, so then you can leave it in the drawer. So no tzitzis in drawer. If it's a chovas talus, so then even in the drawer, it needs tzitzis in the drawer. Okay, so we have here the first salvo, that if you will, in the back and forth. We know now what the battle lines are. If you say that it's your mitzvah, so then if you're leaving it in a drawer, you're not wearing it, you don't need to put tzitzis on it. If you say that it is the talus's mitzvah, then even while the talus is in a drawer, you have an obligation to put tzitzis onto it. Rav Huna criticized Rabbah for just taking off this talus and leaving it in a drawer without putting tzitzis on properly. Presumably Rabbah felt that it was okay, that there was no problem. As long as he was not wearing it, that he would not need to put on proper tzitzis. So the Gemara asks as follows. Lema misayele. Let's say that we can bring a proof to this idea from a braisa. The braisa we've encountered before, and it tells us that chasidim harishonim, right, the early chasidim, people who tried to do every mitzvah as perfectly as possible, they tried to maximize their chances of fulfilling the mitzvah. They didn't want to take any risks, maybe a 1% chance that the mitzvah would slip out of their hands because they weren't fulfilling it properly. They wanted to eliminate even those 1% chances. And it says, Kevan she'aguba shalosh, as soon as they wove three etzbaos of their garment, hayu matilin ba techeles. And the Gemara said it doesn't mean they wove the first three etzbaos, it means as soon as they got to the last three etzbaos, before the garment was even complete, but as long as they had reached what was going to be what they were planning to make into the corner, hayu matilin ba techeles, they would put tzitzis in right away, right, even before the garment was complete. So which of these two opinions do you think that this braisa supports? It's still on the loom. The garment is still on the loom. And here are these chasidim harishonim who are putting tzitzis onto the garment. So does that support the position that it's your mitzvah and that if it's in the drawer you don't need to put on tzitzis? Or does that support the position that it's your clothing's mitzvah and that even when you're not wearing it you still need the second one? So the chasidim harishonim, their custom seems to have been in accordance, right, with the fact that it's a chovas talus.
Is it is there a preference where to put it? Is there a preference where to put it? Is it belong, you know, front, back, left, right?
Chela should be on all four sides.
All corners.
All the corners, yeah.
Each one in each corner.
One string, right, one string on each corner. If you look at the people who wear Rabbi Schachter's tcheles, that's the easiest way to remember it. Or any of the different types of tcheles nowadays, you'll see they have tcheles on all four sides. You have to bring some more such people into the neighborhood so that we could become more familiar with. So the Gemara then responds. It says, no, there's a different interpretation of this braisa. Shani chasidim. These chasidim are different. The machmeri anafshayu, because they were very stringent on themselves. So even though there's no obligation, right, for them to put tzitzis onto their garment until they wear the garment, but they were machmir, and what was the chumrah? They knew there was a machlokes about whether it's your obligation or your clothing's obligation, and they wanted to make sure that they fulfill the mitzvah according to all of the opinions, or perhaps everyone agrees that it's your obligation, right? But there maybe is a midat chasidut, right? It's considered to be righteous, right, not to leave the garment without tzitzis for even a moment, so it's not part of the mitzvah, it's not part of the obligation, right, but nonetheless it still is considered desirable. They were machmir on themselves, they didn't want to take any chances, they wanted to fulfill the mitzvah in the best way possible, even beyond the letter of the law, and that's why they put the tzitzis on even when the talis was on the loom. But there's no formal obligation to do so. The formal obligation only begins when a person is ready to wear the talis.
Question out of order. If you have a house with doors, you have to put mezuzahs on the doors, but nobody lives in the house.
It's a chovas hadar, we say. So only the person who's living in the house has to put.
If nobody's wearing the talis, it's like no one's living. No one's in the house either.
But maybe a house and a talis are different.
That's a question.
Right, so maybe a house and a talis are different. We'll see tomorrow, be'ezras Hashem, that there are comparisons drawn between tzitzis and mezuzah, between four-cornered garments and houses. For instance, this is one of those instances where we say it's not right to deprive the house of its mezuzah, the same way that it's not right to deprive the garment, right, of its tzitzis strings. And so that may be the source for not taking a mezuzah off of the door when you leave.
That's like going out. But you build a house, a brand new house, no one is living into it yet.
Yeah, so that's, we usually say mezuzah is chovas hadar. It's an obligation of the, and it's the same question if you have a renter and a tenant. So who the landlord and the tenant, who has to put the mezuzah on?
Who has to put the renter?
The tenant, exactly.
Yes.
Right, it's chovas hadar. So if there's no tenant, so the landlord won't have.
So you have a talis, but no one in it. There's no tenant.
Assuming the parallel.
Yes.
Right, yes.
If there's no tenant, it's what?
So then there's it seems to be that there's no obligation of mezuzah.
Because you know, maybe a goy will move in there.
But even if it's vacant, as long as it's vacant, so there's no mitzvah. That's what I vaguely recall from Hilchos Mezuzah. Yeah.
If
you put it on, and there's no obligation.
You gotta tell us, but no one is wearing it. It's just in my closet, in my drawer, it's just laying there.
Okay, 1 second. Yeah.
I have three articles of clothing that have four corners. Does each one of them have to have a tzitzit, or one is for the whole?
Oh no, only the one that you're wearing. Meaning, if you want to wear it,
three articles of clothing.
If you're wearing three articles, then each of them needs tzitzis.
Each one needs
tzitzis. Yeah. You're reminding me that there's a story that I heard in elementary school, probably back in first grade. And I think I told this story once before, but it's a chilling story, so I'll share it with you very briefly. And the story goes is that there's a chassid, and he's visiting his rebbe, and a scarf is probably too small. Yeah. So the chassid is visiting his rebbe, and the rebbe is talking with him, and suddenly he faints away. The chassidim in the anteroom are listening. And they're curious, so when he comes out, they say, what's going on? Or maybe, this just story got recorded later on. So he says this is the following story, that he was visiting the Rebbe, and the Rebbe said, sit down, I want to tell you a story. He said, once upon a time, there was a man, and the man passed away. And his neshama went up to heaven, and the heavenly court said that you did not fulfill your purpose in this world. And so And so you have to come back down into this world as a Gilgal. The neshama's got to come down. But you're not going to come back down as a person, they said to this soul, but rather you're going to come down as a grain of wheat. And the soul was a little bit distraught, because if he didn't succeed in fulfilling his mission as a person, how in the world was he going to succeed in fulfilling the mission as a grain of wheat? And so he comes down, and he's a wheat stalk, and he grows, and he's wondering, maybe somehow someone will perform a mitzvah with me. And that's this grain of wheat is sitting there hoping, maybe someone will perform a mitzvah with me. And and he's sitting there, and finally he's harvested, and he's wondering, maybe I'll be made into a matzah, or maybe I'll be baked into a cake or a cookie or a bread, and someone will make a bracha on me. And you can imagine, fraught with suspense, and finally he's taken to a distillery. He's going to be made into beer. So yeah, okay, beer. Maybe someone still will make a bracha on me. And he's turned into beer, and this neshama goes into the beer. And he's there, and he's purchased by a guy, and he's like, oh my goodness, there's no hope at all. What's gonna be? And he's sitting there on the shelf in the guy's pantry, and he's despairing. And one day, a Jew walks in. He has a business meeting or something with the guy, and the guy says, come, let me pour you a drink. And so he pours a drink of beer for himself and for the Jew, and this neshama is in the Jew's cup of beer, and it's like, this is a chance. He's going to make a bracha on me, and then the Jew drinks the beer without making a bracha.
Who, the Jew?
Yeah. So this is a story that the Rebbe told his chassid. And then the Rebbe looked at the chassid and said, do you know whose soul that was? He said, it was your father's soul.
Who's?
Your father's.
Yeah.
And the chassid fainted because he had been the one to be too embarrassed or had forgotten to make the bracha. So this story I remember from way back in first grade, and it obviously, if I remember it from that far back, it made an impact on me. And like for me, one of the big takeaways, right, from the story, aside from the care that we need to exercise, right, in making brachos and not being embarrassed, right, just because people are watching us who don't understand what we're doing, or who might think that whatever it is. But another takeaway is that even the inanimate objects, right, in the world, right, they're all desire in some sense, right, to be used to elevate the world spiritually. And so you could even have a grain of wheat or a cup of beer, right, and in some sense, one can imagine, right, that this cup of beer is just, pulsing with anticipation, someone's going to make a bracha on me.
That means that the chassid did not identify as a Jew, because he was afraid or something was going to harm him.
Whatever.
I mean, he's a chassid, he should have made a bracha. So it's the same thing with Moshe Rabbeinu.
See, it's like nishtakasha on a maisa. So yeah, so basically, that sort of, could be that it's not necessarily the classical way of looking at things, but I do think of houses, right, as pulsing with anticipation of like, when will someone fulfill a mitzvah with me? I can think of a garment as, when will someone fulfill a mitzvah with me? And from that perspective, you can interpret the idea that it's your clothing's mitzvah literally, that God says that you're supposed to help your clothing fulfill its mitzvah, right, of tzitzis, get its tikkun, or whatever you will. But the Gemara is not understanding it literally. So that's just important, right, to keep in mind. The Gemara is understanding that when we say that it's a chovas hatalis, it's an obligation of the talis, it does not mean that God imposed a mitzvah on the talis, that I am enabling the talis to perform. It simply means that it is not a mitzvah for me to run after this garment. It's more like what we'll call a machshir. If I desire to wear a four-cornered garment, so then I must put tzitzis on it. The same way that if I desire to eat meat, then I must shecht the animal properly, but there's no mitzvah to shecht if I have no desire to eat meat. In that same sense, we'll say there's a mitzvah. If I want to wear a four-cornered garment, there's a mitzvah to put tzitzis on it, but if I have no desire to wear such a garment, So then, it's not my mitzvah that I must make sure that sometime in my life or sometime each year I fulfill the mitzvah of tzitzis. No, it's the garment's mitzvah. It's a machshir for the garment. It makes the garment kosher to wear. But aside from that, we don't necessarily have a mitzvah of tzitzis. That sounds like, at this point, like what the Gemara means when it says that it is my clothing's mitzvah. So let's read a little bit on, because the Gemara has some more evidence to bring to bear on number one, what are exactly the parameters of this question, of each side of this question, and number two, how do we resolve it? What do we paskin? Do we paskin that a person has an obligation to wear tzitzis as frequently as possible, and even if he doesn't have a four-cornered garment, he should go ahead and buy one so that he can fulfill the mitzvah? Or do we say that no, that it's just a machshir, and that the mitzvah only applies if a person wishes to wear a four-cornered garment? That's when he needs to put that's when he needs to put the tzitzis on.
But, but it's a chiv to wear it.
If the man wants to,
what do you mean he wants? He has to.
No, let's see the Gemara, because the Gemara is going to discuss it. Huh? So the Gemara is going to discuss this. It's not so. It's not so black and white.
Yeah.
It just asked you a question about a scarf. If you need to tell,
yeah.
You said to me it's too small.
Yeah.
I know most scarves are longer than the regular small tzitzis. How is it possible that it doesn't?
Okay, I can address it later, but it's not not exactly on topic right now. So I'd rather. We could cover what we're learning now, and I'll be happy to talk about scarves afterwards. Also, discussion for a different time. Because it says gavra. To machlokas Rabbi Shimon and Nechachamim, we paskin that women are potter from tzitzis.
So it has nothing to do with clothing.
We say gavra, that gavra means a person, right? But gavra can also mean a man. We happen, there's a machlokas about whether it's a man or a person. We paskin
that it's... Gavra is a man, and it's a gadol.
Yeah, so let's see the Gemara. The Gemara says, pliga de malacha. So this is arguing on the angel. Okay, there's a story with an angel, which is arguably the most famous story, right, in all of the literature about tzitzis. A story with an angel. What happened? There was a rabbi, and his name was Rabbi Katina. And the malacha ashkechel Rav Katina. The angel found Rav Katina, the michsi sadina. He was wearing a blanket or some sort of a linen garment, and he didn't have, either he didn't have techeles on it, or he didn't have any tzitzis on it. And the angel said, Amar Lehi, he said to him, Katina, Katina! If you wear a sadina bekaita, if you wear this linen garment in the summertime, in the kayets, and a sarbala besitva, and a different type of garment which is exempt from tzitzis because it's rounded during the sitav, during the fall, during the winter, so tzitzis, or tzitzis shal techeles, matehei ala, what's going to be with tzitzis? During the summer, you're wearing this blanket or this linen garment which is exempt at least from techeles and maybe even from white strings. During the winter, you're wearing a rounded garment which is exempt from tzitzis because it doesn't have four corners, and so you're going to go your whole life without wearing tzitzis. So tzitzis, or tzitzis shal techeles, matehei ala, what's going to be with the tzitzis? So Rabbi Katina answered the angel, and he said, Amar Lehi, he said, Anshitu aasei, do you people up in heaven punish people for failure to fulfill mitzvot asei? And I thought that it is a machshir, that tzitzis is a machshir. If I wish to eat meat, then I must shecht. If I don't wish to eat meat, so then there's no reason for me to make sure that I shecht an animal once in my life. By the same token, if I wish to wear a four-cornered garment, I must put on tzitzis. But if I don't wish to wear a four-cornered garment, so then I don't need to put on tzitzis. So that's Rev Katina's anshitu asei. Why are you punishing me for failure to fulfill this mitzvah asei? I thought that the mitzvah was just a machshir. So the angel replied to Rev Katina. Amar Lehi said to him, Bizman di'ika ritcha. When there is boiling, bubbling anger, so then anshinon, we do punish. This reminds me of the story that I had, that someone once did something to me which I found it hard to be mochel them for, and I worked and I finally was able to feel that I got over it and that I was mochel them. And
within yourself,
within myself,
not like you probably go to.
Yeah. It was just working on myself, and then there was one time that they did it again, but I was upset about something that was vaguely, mildly connected, right, to that same topic, and suddenly, like, I felt bad about what that person had done again. And so I was wondering to myself whether my mechila was a genuine mechila, because I really felt, you know, when I was working on it, that I had forgiven them, right? But then something happened, and it was a few weeks later, and then suddenly I felt like a little bit, you know, hurt by what they had done again. And so was it a mechila because, like, I said, was able to say to myself, I've gotten over it, or was it not a mechila because, you know, because it still was able to, you know, the bother, meaning it didn't bother me all the time. It bothered me, yeah, right, when I was in a particular frame of mind. Uh-huh. And so what it took me a couple of years to figure out the answer to this question. Yeah, okay. And that is that when Moshe asks God for forgiveness for the sin of the Chet HaEgel, so Hashem forgives him, right? Not Salati Kidvarecha, yeah, is about a different sin, right? But Hashem does say that, but at the same time, God also promises that when I remember it, so I'm going to add on whenever the Jews make me angry, and then I'm going to remember the Chet HaEgel also. So okay, it seems from there that yes, it's considered a genuine mechila, uh-huh, if when relations are normal, right, then there's no umbrage, there's nothing that, you know, no bad feelings between the two parties, and it's not a problem, right, if when things sort of dip to their lowest point, that somehow a person remembers and the bad feelings resurface, that does not prevent the mechila from being a valid mechila. And that seems to be the dynamic that the Gemara is describing over here as well. That usually, when the Jews neglect, whatever it may be, to have the table, set when God comes home from work, or to have, the house, clean, or to take care of this little detail, that little detail, usually it's something which is overlooked. But if for some reason, right, there's a whole range of things, the person's in a bad mood and whatever happened, and, right, there's one thing on top of another, right, that usually, so again, it's not necessarily proper, but it's psychology, right? That very often those little things which a person ordinarily overlooks suddenly come back to haunt them. And
that means you made a mistake that you forgive him.
Yeah. So the same thing it says with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Usually HaKadosh Baruch Hu overlooks the fact that we don't wear tzitzis, right? But if he's angry when there's an idan ritcha, when his temper is boiling, kaviyacho, right? So then he does punish people a little bit extra for failure if they've neglected to wear tzitzis. Exactly. So we have, that's what the angel said to Rav Katina, said, "Bizman de'ika ritcha," when God is angry, so yes, there is an onesh, and shina, we do punish, and therefore, he said to Rav Katina, it's not a good idea to go the whole summer without wearing tzitzis, and the whole winter without wearing tzitzis, because then you'll have gone the whole year, or you could go a whole lifetime without wearing tzitzis, and that's not good. If God ever gets angry at the Jews, so then, by neglecting tzitzis all year round, so one is inviting upon himself some sort of extra measure of punishment.
Is it right to say that God gets angry? For us human beings,
figure of
psychologically,
speech,
can you say that God gets angry?
Yeah, we usually use the word kaviyachol, as if it were passable. Kaviyachol, yeah, means as if it were passable. Right, so it's a word that God permitted the prophets to use to describe him. It can't describe his essence, right? But it's a word which God permitted the prophets to use to describe him.
Maybe you can say it.
Let him give a seal, please.
Yeah. No, he says I interrupt him.
I ask him to let you give a seal.
Okay, so let's move onwards. So the Gemara now attaches. So let me ask you a question. Does the angel believe that tzitzis is your mitzvah, or does the angel believe that tzitzis is your clothing mitzvah? That the angel says, if you go the whole year round without wearing tzitzis, so then there is a little bit of a punishment sometimes. So does that mean that it's a machshir, that it's just something that makes the garment kosher? Or does that mean that no, it's your mitzvah that you must fulfill? No raya. Why not?
Because you would have to do it all the time. Why just once? Why? can't say it's a mitzvah on the baguette. It was only a dangling when it's an assay. So it's not a clear avera not to have a tzitzis on the bar. Maybe you could say it's a mitzvah on the gabra. He doesn't really need it. Maybe sure as it did. Just because he did. Just for Katina. Just when Hashem is angry.
Okay, so you want to argue that this was a unique situation for Rav Katina. I mean, maybe the Malach would have told Rav Katina that if he never shechted an animal, God would get angry at him also.
Maybe, if it's an ace versicha.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
It's a mitzvah on the person, because otherwise Hashem wouldn't get angry at not doing it.
Okay, so you're suggesting that we have a second nafkamina, meaning in addition to the question of whether or not you need tzitzis on garment that's in your drawer, if it's your mitzvah, so you've got to, how should I write it?
You have to actively buy a baguette to fulfill the mitzvah.
As opposed to if it's your clothing mitzvah, right, so then... You know, you would not need, right? You wouldn't need to buy. So, if you say that it's your clothing mitzvah, if you don't have a four-cornered garment, you don't need to run out and buy a four-cornered garment. If it's your mitzvah, so then that means that God says, to whatever extent, you should make sure to fulfill this mitzvah once in your life, once a year, right, once a day, whatever it is, right? But if it's not your mitzvah, if it's your clothing's mitzvah, so then if you don't own the type of clothing that needs tzitzis, so then it's the responsibility of whoever does own that clothing. Your responsibility is towards your clothing. It's not towards other people's clothing, and you don't have to make other people's clothing your own in order for you to help them fulfill the mitzvah. So that would seem to be a second nafkamina, right, between these two possibilities. That's just a second. Let's read it inside. So the Gemara says, Iyamart, if you'll say that Bishlama Chovas Gavrahu, everything rolls at peace, if you say that it's a person's obligation, Hainu Dimichayev, that's why Rav Katina would have been liable, the lower Rami, because he neglected to put tzitzis on the garment. Elo iamaret, but if you say that chovas talisu, that it's a talis's obligation, halomi chayva, his talis was not obligated, he didn't own a talis that was obligated, and therefore he had no obligation to help any particular talis with fulfilling its mitzvah of putting on tzitzis. So the Gemara challenges this. And this is closer to what Rabbi Tannenbaum was saying. Elo, says the Gemara, elamai, rather what? Choves Gavra, you'll tell me that it's a Choves Gavra, and that's why for his failure to actively buy tzitzis that Rav Katina would have been punished. Nehi dechayve rachmana ki michsi talis debas chayuva. It may be so, right, that the Torah obligated the person, right, to put on tzitzis when he's wearing a talis which is obligated in tzitzis, but ki michsi talis delav bas chayuva. He, when a person's wearing a talis which is not obligated in tzitzis, mi chayvei rachmana, right, did the Torah really make him obligated? Ella, rather, hachi ka'amar lei, this is what the angel said to Rav Katina, this is what he said to Rav Katina, tatztiki lemiftar nafshach mitzitzis. You're seeking, right, the problem here is not your failure to put on tzitzis, but rather, it's the fact that you're going to great lengths to avoid being obligated in tzitzis. You're going to great lengths to avoid being obligated in tzitzis. And so, the Gemara says that there's two separate questions. Right, one question is, right, whether or not you have to put tzitzis when it's in a drawer or not. Right, but the second question is totally distinct from the first one. And this issue of whether you have to actively buy tzitzis or whether you don't have to actively buy tzitzis is not depend on whether it's your mitzvah or whether it's your clothing's mitzvah, but rather it depends on something else. It depends on, I would call it, well, possibly common practice. We'll get to that in a second. But I would say that even if it's your mitzvah, you can still ask, what is the nature of the mitzvah? Is it a mitzvah that must be fulfilled proactively, right? Those who say mitzvah chiyuvis, right? Or is it a mitzvah that only needs to be fulfilled if you wish to do something else? Like I was calling it a machshir or a mitzvah kiyumis. That's a totally distinct question, right? We can call this kiyumis. We can call this kiyumis, right? But it's a separate question, right, from whether or not it's your clothing's mitzvah or whether it's your mitzvah. It could be that according to both possibilities, it's your mitzvah, right? And we still have, right, and we still have the same question. Right? It's all going to be within this possibility. Right? Within this possibility, you have both possibilities. It's kiyumis or it's chiyuvis, and the two nafkaminas don't necessarily correlate to one another. Now, Alvin is raising an important question, and that is, so how do we measure what's considered to be a trick, a tatsdiki, in order to avoid a mitzvah? And so there's actually three different opinions in Rishonim about this, about what exactly was the problem with what Rav Katina did. And you'll discover, right, that according to two of the opinions, it would be problematic to to go out and do it nowadays, and according to the third opinion, it would be okay. So one of the opinions is if everybody wears tzitzis, so then it's not appropriate for Rav Katina, right, to use this trick in order to avoid wearing tzitzis. So according to that, nowadays when everyone wears tzitzis, then the angel would have a problem if we neglected tzitzis all year round, everyone else is wearing tzitzis, and so it would be a tatsdiki, it would be some sort of a trick of being different from everybody else, unless there's no reason to assume extenuating circumstances, so that we possibly, if we didn't wear tzitzis, might be in the same situation as Rav Katina. A second possibility though is that what Rav Katina did is he had a custom-made garment. Right? He made sure to order linen garments in the summertime. He made sure to order round garments in the wintertime. And he picked it out, or he had them custom-made in order not to be chayav in tzitzis. So that would potentially be a problem. He's ordering custom-made garments to be exempt from tzitzis. And that's a problem. But let's say that the only garments available, right, you're going shopping, you're trying to come up with a nice wardrobe, and tzitzis are not on the shelves. You would have to go to a different store. You don't formally need the tzitzis in order to round out your wardrobe. So if that's the case, Rav Katina having custom-made garments, that was a tatsdiki which would be deserving of some sort of divine censure. But the failure, right, if a person just gets a regular wardrobe without making sure to go to a tzitzis store or a sfarim store to buy tzitzis, according to that opinion, would not constitute the problem of having a tatsdiki, of having some sort of a trick to avoid tzitzis. There is a third opinion, though, and that third opinion says that the idea is that tzitzis is a mitzvah chiyuvis. Right? It is an obligation, whether it's an obligation to wear tzitzis once a day, whether it's an obligation to wear tzitzis once a year, whether it's an obligation to wear tzitzis once in a lifetime, right? But tzitzis is an obligatory mitzvah, right? And therefore it makes no difference whether everyone around you is wearing tzitzis or is not wearing tzitzis, whether the normal stores that sell clothing do sell tzitzis or don't sell tzitzis. For Rav Katina not to have taken the opportunity once in his lifetime, right, or once in a year, or once in a day to put on tzitzis, right, so that theoretically would be a problem. Now, what is the person supposed to do if it's the summertime and it's very hot and the tzitzis, right, make it even more hot? So what would be a good solution to that? So the language of the Gemara, right, almost makes it sound like it's a once-in-a-year mitzvah. The malach, the angel, accuses Rav Katina. He says, in the summertime, you wear linen. And in the wintertime, you wear round clothing. And so the whole year goes by, and you don't wear any tzitzis. What if you wore tzitzis once, right, one day of the winter, one day of the summertime? It makes it sound almost, right, as if that's not a problem. But it also is possible that the angel is simply highlighting or drawing attention to the scope of the problem. This is not a small problem, like once, like now wearing tzitzis for a day, that might be a problem, but that would be a pretty small problem. But look, Rav Katina, right, what you're doing is a massive problem. You're not wearing tzitzis the whole year round. So the angel need not be saying that all you need to do to fix it, right, is to wear tzitzis once a year. The angel might be saying, look, you really ought to be wearing tzitzis, right, every minute or every day or something like that. But, right, look, you're not even wearing tzitzis, you know, one day a year. So that's hard to know. I would say, again, in terms of the heat and stuff like that, that it may be worthwhile when a person puts on talus in the morning. So the person is yotze, you know, is yotze with that. But maybe to look for times, you know, during the day when it's less, you know, when it's less problematic. Meaning that you know, there may be times yes, times no. For sure during Shacharis. For sure during Shacharis, a person nowadays people put on tzitzis every day during Shacharis. Right? And so you've got the daily tzitzis, and so the goal is to push the standard as much as possible, to look perhaps, right, for as many circumstances when one could, you know, when one could wear tzitzis. But again, the psak seems to be, right, from, you know, the angel says that you know, it's not a good idea to look for situations, you know, where one is exempt. Now that might mean that you shouldn't get a custom-made garment which is exempt from tzitzis, in which case there's no problem at all if one doesn't order a custom-made garment, simply just puts on his regular outfit without any problem. But the problem, it also may be that everyone around you is wearing tzitzis, right, and you're not, in which case it would be ideal then to look for circumstances when the tzitzis, you know, is not, you know, person is working in the heat and whatever else, but when he gets home maybe or something like that, when he changes from mincha or something, maybe there will be room then to wear tzitzis. Is
not.
Yes. Yeah, because I think that back then we didn't have these distinctions. Back then everyone wore the toga, right, or whatever the equivalent was, and they wore it the whole day. And so they didn't need, right, it wasn't as if you could go to a svarim store and buy a talis gadol for davening. You put on your toga had tzitzis, and then there you had the tzitzis the whole day long. And it's a relatively modern phenomenon, right, that we have clothing which is manufactured exclusively for the purpose of tzitzis, and we'll discover, perhaps, if we have, if we read the next couple of lines in time, that there are actually nafgaminas. There are differences between garments which are manufactured exclusively for tzitzis and garments which are manufactured to be worn, right, and we happen to put tzitzis on them in order to make them kosher. Very, very quickly. Right. So again, the poskim in general have always, you know, felt that the Jews are capable of reaching for higher levels in fulfillment of the mitzvah of tzitzis, and so they have not been shy about pushing for people to wear tzitzis more and more frequently, because they feel that this is one of the mitzvos where people are really capable of constantly rising, right, to a higher level, right? But, right, again, on a one-on-one basis, if there are genuine extenuating circumstances, so there certainly are options available, but the general trend, right, amongst the poskim is to say that tzitzis is one of those mitzvos which Jews have always excelled at, and Jews have always excelled in growing, right, in their fulfillment of the mitzvah of tzitzis, and then therefore they have been sort of drawing people, constantly encouraging people to strive, you know, in an upward direction in terms of the fulfillment of the mitzvah of tzitzis. So I think that's what the story, even in the gym, while they're playing basketball and they don't want to wear it too, but this is a mitzvah that we've always been so good at, and so let's encourage people to get even better. I think that's the outlook that the poskim have on the mitzvah. I just, if you give me three more minutes, I want to just get to the end of this sugya so that we are at a natural stopping point before tomorrow. So let's just read a couple more lines. The Gemara says, Amar Rav Tovi Bar Kisna, Amar Shmuel. Rav Tovi says, Klei Kupsa, clothing that you put, let's say, on... In your drawer, you put it in your chest, you put it in your closet, but you're not actually wearing it. Chayavin b'tzitzis, they are obligated, right, in tzitzis. Rav Shmuel seems to believe that tzitzis is a chovas talis, right, in the literal sense of the word, that even if you're not wearing the clothing, right, you still have to put tzitzis onto it. But modesh Shmuel agrees that bezakein she'asal lichvodo. Let's say that you have a talis that's in your drawer, right, and you never wear because it's being saved for tachrichin after 120. So that's also a type of klei kupsa. It's clothing that stays in the drawer. That type of klei kupsa, Shmuel agrees, is exempt from tzitzis. And the reason is, my taima, why? Why is it exempt from tzitzis? Asher techaseh ba amar rachmana. The only garments which a person needs to put tzitzis onto are garments which he intends to cover himself with. And hai lav liichsuye avida, these garments are not meant to cover oneself with. They're meant for a totally different purpose. They're not meant for covering oneself with. They're meant for covering a body with, not a living body. And so it doesn't fall under the requirement of the Torah of Asher Techaseba. However, says Shmuel, behahi shaita, when the time comes, right, after 120, vadai ramina lei, we used to put tzitzis, right, onto burial shrouds, mishum lo igla rosh chirei foseyu, because otherwise it would look like an insult to the dead, and you can't fulfill tzitzis anymore, you can't do tzitzis anymore. Nowadays, though, the custom is, I think, not to put tzitzis onto tachrichin. The Ramban says that that's because we do not paskin like Shmuel, that there are tanoim who argue on Shmuel, and those tanoim are the more authoritative voice in the discussion. But Tosfos say that it's because of the point that you mentioned earlier, because whereas it used to be that everyone wore tzitzis because you had a toga, and your toga had tzitzis, and so everyone wore tzitzis in their lifetime, it would look like an insult to the deceased if you did not put tzitzis onto the shrouds. However, in the times of the Bali Atosfos, it seemed that people stopped wearing four-corner garments ordinarily, and people who were very special. Nowadays, pretty much everyone is special this way, but it wasn't always the case in Jewish history. Only special people would manufacture special talisos and talis katans for fulfillment of the mitzvah. And so there were segments of the population that fulfilled the mitzvah of tzitzis. There were segments of the population who did not fulfill the mitzvah of tzitzis. And so, in a way, it would be a greater insult to the deceased to put tzitzis onto the shrouds, as if to say, in your lifetime, you never did this, and you have to go to the world to come with a reminder, right, of the opportunities that you lost in your lifetime. That hurts even more. And so in the times of the Bali Atosfos say to stop putting tzitzis onto burial shrouds so that the niftar shouldn't feel hurt if they missed the opportunity in their lifetime, and here they're going to the world to come with a reminder, right, of all the opportunities that they missed. That is the custom nowadays? To yes, put it. Oh, so that's them. You pass
them.
But
you put it over the shroud, you put a talus on every man.
Yeah, but the kosher tzitzis, meaning there's no, they don't wear tzitzis. The reason why, the Gemara here says, again, the Gemara says, Be'aki Shaita, that when time comes, Vaday Raminole, you're supposed to put kosher tzitzis onto the tachrichin. And the Tosfos and the Ramban are both struggling, right, with the discrepancy between what Shmuel says we should do and the prevalent custom. So the Ramban says we just don't paskin like Shmuel. Tosfos say that the change in custom has to do with the change in terms of people's garment wearing habits. But one way or another, they say that this Gemara does not pose an insurmountable problem to the general custom. So, do we have time to quickly summarize? No. So we'll summarize it maybe a different time. Have a wonderful day.
Sure.
Yeah. Very nice.